coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
The lynching tragedy of 1920 defined the Twin Ports for decades. Now it's been immortalized in music with the world premiere of a new serious work by a local composer.
I've been thinking about that piece for 20 years. So when Julia Chang just asked me whether I would want to write a piece, I immediately jumped on it. Yet I found it really difficult to finally sit down and write it.
Plus, like everyone, we're talking about the coronavirus. Only we'll look specifically at Northwest Wisconsin and Northeast Minnesota. All that after this.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. And yes, we too will be talking about the coronavirus with two public health professionals focused directly on our area. That's happening later in the show. We begin, however, where we left off last week, with a musical offering in commemoration of 100 years since the lynchings in Duluth. Part of that includes the world premiere last Sunday of a piano, cello, and violin trio, and its broadcast premiere later in the program. First, we're joined by Jean-Rudy Perrault, professor and director of orchestras at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and the composer of We Three Kings, a trio for piano, violin, and cello, commissioned by the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Committee for the 100th anniversary of the lynching in Duluth. Welcome back to Simply Superior.
Thank you, Robin. So good to be here.
And it's great to have you in studio following your world premiere of the work at a special concert at the College of St. Scholastica, March 8th, along with two works by William Grant Still. So I want to start with the title, We Three Kings. Of course, we want to honor the three men who were completely unjustly killed by a mob of as many as 10,000. And I want to be clear here, for a crime that simply did not happen.
That is correct.
I can give many references for the event, the most definitive being the book, The Lynchings in Duluth by Michael Fito. And in it and other sources going back to contemporaneous accounts in 1920, a doctor examining Irene Tuscan, who with her boyfriend conspired to say she had been raped by six black circus workers, said flatly that she showed no signs of sexual assault. I want to get that out there, because even today we still hear, well, what about the woman who was raped?
Correct.
So your title honors the three men, but the piece more graphically evokes the crime.
Correct. It was hard to find where to begin the piece. I labored over, do I start before the event? Do I start it after the event? Or do I actually just touch on the event? Julia had asked for a 12, 15-minute piece, and I thought I had much more to say than that took the 12, 15 minutes, so I took a little longer. So I'm sure she'll forgive me for that.
Right. Julia Chang being the person who made the commission on behalf of the committee to you. And full disclosure, I cannot say enough, my wife.
So I decided to center on the event itself. Just a brief preview and a brief postlude, as in, this is what happens. Where do we go from here?
Right.
As for the titles, I was struck by three quotes by Martin Luther King, and I used two of them in the score, one being, how long will prejudice blind the vision of man? And the second, in the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Right.
Because I started with those three references, I thought, I'm going to name those guys the three kings. Then the constant abuse that some folks, non-white, suffer. I said we three kings. So we are part of that persecution as well. We continue to be persecuted in one form or another. So it is about us in a minority, and then also being suffering some of what the three men had suffered. Yes, we're not being lynched. At the same time, sometimes it does feel that persecution just gnaws at you.
One other thought about why you did not, or anybody, say much more about them other than their tragic deaths was we simply don't know. Even to this day, we know very little about the men. To my knowledge, I think we still don't really know the spelling of McGee. It's an approximation or something. And we know a little bit about Elmer Jackson because his indirect descendants have come to the fore. We know who they are now. But really, I mean, there's very little we know about them.
Yes, the other reference to we is it was not just the lives of those three men. It had that ripple effect in our whole society. So we are part of that society, and hence the reason for the We Three Kings.
Right. As we concentrate on the we, I would imagine that one of your goals is for as many people as possible to comprehend what
Correct.
This was all about, to understand the piece. That being said, it is a complicated piece. It's just deconstructed for me.
I thought it important to not forewarn the audience, but give them sort of landmarks to be able to follow the story.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for them to enjoy it. I don't care if they enjoy it or not.
Well, this is not an enjoyable event.
Correct,
right?
Exactly. So for them to really understand where I was coming from, and my point of view, and follow along, then it was important to give them certain landmarks so that they can comprehend the message. And
mm-hmm. And you do that with the quotations from various works that you cite.
Correct. I use four Negro spirituals. Two are quite well known. One, Amazing Grace, which we all know. And the other, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child.
One thing I noticed, the pieces that you do quote, they're all a little, I'm sure quite purposely, off. So you have
right.
two or three notes that are the melody we all know, and then the third one is a minor or
correct.
Something way correct. Out there.
Yes, it would be somewhat gimmicky to simply use the full quotes. And I thought, I'm going to
use snippets.
Well,
that would be a medley, and we're
right,
not doing
right,
that.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So I used just a hint. For example, the other piece that I use is that piece by Abel Meeropol, mm-hmm. Strange Fruit, and on the very opening, this Southern Trees Bear Strange Fruit,
right?
Which to me is haunting.
And again, it's not literal. We're not talking about a southern tree. We're talking about a very, very northern, about as far north as you can go, lamppost.
Correct.
Right.
Although, at some discussion, I mentioned that Duluth is the northernmost southern city. That struck me. That I think I did not understand that until Henry Banks told me about the lynching.
And you mentioned that to the audience in your opening remarks, that when you moved to town 20 years ago, you're originally from Haiti and then from New York, no one gave you a little guidebook saying that the lynching had happened.
Correct,
right?
Correct. And I think Henry Banks really for pointing it out way, way before anybody else told me.
He is with Heidi Bach Hansen, the co-founder of the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial. Right?
He told me, I'm not sure why, but at the same time, certain notes began to float in my head. And this was way back. This is 17 years ago. Maybe
You've
even
been
20.
Writing this then for a long
so
time.
I've been thinking about that piece for 20 years. Hmm. So when Julia Chang just asked me whether I would want to write a piece, I immediately jumped on it because I have been thinking about that piece for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I found it really difficult to finally sit down and write it. Faced with the actual theme, faced with what am I doing here? What is the purpose of this? I found it really hard to write.
Mm-hmm.
We struggled through, the family did, my wife and the kids when we're there. They left me alone in my dark place, and I wrote it. I had so much to say. And I think in my talk during the concert, I said more than I wanted to say musically.
Right.
There was not enough time for me to say all of that musically, so I thought important. Just to make my feelings, my thoughts heard, because if I had to put all that into music, we would still be sitting there.
We are talking to Jean-Rudy Perrault, the composer of We Three Kings, the piece commissioned by the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Committee for the 100th anniversary of the Duluth lynching. One part of the piece that leaves nothing to the imagination is in the cello, which is the rope swinging. First of all, is there a word for that technique?
Well, it's an extended technique.
This is a scratching of the horsehair at a bow. You can hear this like anything.
Well, actually, what the cello does is to not put the bow on the string, but rather under the string, between the right on the body itself. And those of you string players, you may want to try this.
Or not. You don't want to ruin
It is quite the sound. It actually does not ruin the instrument.
Okay.
You might get a bit more rosin on the wood, which you just clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you roll the bow with the hair on the body, it makes that god-awful sound of wood cracking. In the trio, it is the reference of neck snapping, as the man just let down from the rope, the neck just separates from the rest of the body, and the other visual is on the piano at that point, where the pianist is going from the lowest chords to some of the highest chords, so it's that swinging back and forth of the low chords and then high one. And that, again, it's a visual of the body is just swinging. Right at that point, the violin is also playing a very dissonant Amazing Grace. It's eerie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say it myself.
This is obviously wrenching and emotional. What do you do to recover from writing a piece like this?
Well, I need to decompress a little. Some of you who know me can hear that my voice has probably gone down an octave. It is because of the journey. I'm finally relaxing, and I need some time to decompress. I'm going to need a lot of time to decompress.
Right. Great. We've been speaking with Jean-Rudy Perrault, the composer of We Three Kings, commissioned by the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Committee for the 100th anniversary of the lynching in Duluth. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Robin.
During last weekend's rehearsals, I spoke with the three musicians who performed it, pianist Sam Black, violinist Laurie Bastian, and cellist Josh Airy.
I'm Laurie Bastian, violinist.
Josh Airy, cellist.
Sam Black, I am the pianist, and together we call ourselves the Gichigami Trio. Rudy has always been kind of demanding. He lets you know when you made mistakes. He has a plan how he wants it to go.
Is that intimidating, or are you just the best of friends?
We're good friends, and I'm quite a bit older.
This particular piece needed a lot of shaping. You couldn't just sit down and play it. We had to work it through. And because Josh came in from out of town, we didn't have a lot of opportunity to rehearse, which maybe was a good thing because we started feeling certain ways and tempos, and then Rudy came in and, well, I'd prefer it this way. So it really was a work in progress.
Yeah, it's so fascinating and rewarding, I find, to work on new music in general and in Rudy's music in particular. Not only is it, you know, tied to today and to the commemoration and moment in our history, but it's tied back 100 years too, of course, to 1920 and the lynchings. And as we've discovered the music together through rehearsal, we've also discovered some of Rudy's ideas about certain parts, what they represent, what certain sounds mean, what some of the narrative is behind his music. And that's been a remarkable journey because he did not share that with us when he sent the score and the parts. So it's come from his mouth, and little by little over the course of the past week or so as we've rehearsed.
You're saying some of the sounds that you could not immediately identify.
Yeah, there are some special effects, probably is the best way to say it in this piece especially. There are what we call false harmonics in the strings, which give a really eerie double octave sound.
Lori and I identified one theme that seems like it comes from a lullaby by Brahms. Well, no, it comes from another spiritual, but there are at least three other spirituals in there by titles that Rudy knew and was familiar with and incorporated them, but until we talked with him, we didn't know that.
Yeah, I think like the great composers, of which I would count Rudy one, he molds and melds the pieces, not necessarily a whole phrase even, to his will. It's not just the tune, it has a place in the narrative, so to speak, of the music itself.
It's deeply emotional piece of music. Even the harsh spot, the choice of harmonies, and there's only two, I'm only playing two notes at a time, even though quickly, but his choice of what those two notes are and when they agree with each other and when they clash adds to incredible amount of irony that just pervades every page of this piece.
That was pianist Sam Black, violinist Lori Bastian, and cellist Josh Airy discussing their world premiere performance last Sunday of Jean-Rudy Perrault's trio, We Three Kings. We'll have the broadcast premiere of the work after this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Last Sunday, the College of St. Scholastica's Mitchell Auditorium played host to the world premiere of Jean-Rudy Perrault's piano, violin, and cello trio, We Three Kings. It was commissioned by the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Committee for the 100th anniversary this June of the triple lynching in Duluth. Here in its broadcast premiere is that performance. You've just heard the broadcast premiere of Jean Perrault's piano, violin, and cello trio, We Three Kings, commissioned by the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Committee for the 100th anniversary this June of the triple lynching in Duluth. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and like everyone else, we're talking about the coronavirus. Unlike everyone else, we're talking about it specifically for our region. Ellen Hill is the Northeastern District Epidemiologist at the Minnesota Department of Health. She joins us by phone from Duluth, and in the studio we have Kathy Ronke, the Health Officer at Douglas County Department of Health and Human Services. Welcome to Simply Superior.
Hello.
Thank you.
So what are the latest developments in each of your geographic areas? Ellen Hill?
Sure.
And I should point out that we are recording this on Wednesday afternoon for broadcast on Friday. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's all right. Thank you. That's a very important note to make. So as of Wednesday, the Minnesota Department of Health did report out our fourth and fifth cases of the COVID-19 disease in Minnesota residents. Right now, most of our cases are in the metro. However, one of our newest cases is in southeastern Minnesota.
Kathy, what's the latest on the Wisconsin side of the bay?
I think it's still the two active cases and one that is recovered.
And they're not in your region?
No, they're not.
Remembering correctly.
And yes, it's not in our part of the state, but we are still actively preparing for it.
In both cases, it looks like it's south of us, both in Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm wondering, are there Canadian cases in Ontario north of us?
Yes. So my understanding is that there are some in Ontario, but I don't know where in Ontario. So if you were to take a look at the Ontario Ministry of Public Health, I'm sure they would have some information on their website about that.
Sure. So with all kidding aside, it means that it can be anywhere. And don't assume that our northern clime is a defense against it.
Correct.
So I just got a communicate from our tech people from Wisconsin Public Radio in Madison saying don't use the shared studio headphones. And this was directed to hosts and DJs, and it said bring your own or use your own, assuming that hosts and DJs have their own. The only thing is our guests don't have their own, and Kathy, you're right here in the studio, and again, trying not to be flippant about it, but for you to hear Ellen, you're wearing our headphones. So is this a good reaction? Is this typical? Is this just a good precaution or overreaction?
Well, I personally wouldn't necessarily call it an overreaction because, you know, people can, when they cough, they could cough on anything. You know, it could be on the surfaces, they could have germs on their hands and they're touching them, and, you know, then touching their face or their eyes or you know, rubbing their eyes, whatever it might be.
Well, your ears have all kinds of things going on. Seriously, right?
Well, correct. Right. And with the headphones, when you put them on, you have to touch them. You're putting them up by your face. You're holding onto them.
Right.
Talking myself into being concerned about your headphones. But this is why we tell people to wash their hands frequently and don't touch their face, because you just don't know where you're going to encounter the germs that you need to be worried about. So I appreciate your hand sanitizer next to me. And, you know, with washing hands, that's why we talk about it, because you don't know where you're going to necessarily pick up germs.
Right. Ellen, anything you want to add?
The only thing I guess I would add, too, is to go along with the hand washing. You know, just make sure that you're covering your cough with a handkerchief or the inside of your elbow or something like that and not your hand.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, then there's handshaking, too, which I've been doing elbow bumps for the last week or so, and it's pretty cool. People very quickly realize what I'm doing, and they reciprocate. Good idea?
Definitely.
If I guess there's two scenarios that could happen here. Is one, this turns out to be, and it's analogous to our weather up here with all the storms we get. Every year, it seems like we get predicted a big storm that doesn't happen. And then on the other hand, it actually happens and you really do get socked. So this could be maybe just precautionary for something that doesn't pan out to be that terrible. Either way, is it worth it that we just went through the exercise, that we got prepared, a very serious fire drill, if you will?
I definitely think so. It's really heightening people's awareness how important it is to wash your hands, cover your cough, really practice that good hand washing and respiratory hygiene etiquette, and just making people really more aware of how important it is that even if you are a healthy person there in the general population, the actions you take are really important to protecting the more vulnerable in our population as well.
I would definitely agree with that, Ellen. And I would add, I think a benefit for sure, regardless of where this goes, a benefit has been the partnering with our schools, partnering with law enforcement, with human services, clinics, hospitals, all of those people. But we kind of work behind the scenes, and we, just in our daily work, we have frequent contacts with all of these different people. And what has happened in this last couple weeks is that has just really enhanced. It's really brought people together. It's made people think of the what ifs. You know, a part of our preparedness discussion in public health is always, okay, this is our plan, but what if that doesn't work? Or what if this happens? And you do that a couple of times, the what if, it really makes you stop and think, and it really makes you connect with other people. I think when this happens, I'm going to count on you to do this thing. And what if they don't have the capacity because all their people are sick? Then what would you do instead? So I think it's just really, really brought just people together in that planning for the worst case scenario and what can we do to promote that health and safety of the people that we live near, mm-hmm. looking at Douglas County as a whole and how will this work if these different things kind of happen.
Mm-hmm. There is no cure for the coronavirus yet, but what about a regular flu shot?
The flu shot will increase the antibodies in your body, so you'll be able to fight illness better. It might not be a perfect match to an illness, but your body still is prepared to fight against an influenza, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It wouldn't be against this particular strain, but your body is healthier when you've had a flu shot and you don't have the flu. Your body's healthier, and you're more likely to be able to develop antibodies against a disease like this than you would if you were unhealthy. About 80% of people who are exposed to this disease only develop mild symptoms.
Hmm.
Their bodies kick in overdrive, developing antibodies, and the symptoms are mild. Or there's 20% of people who get very, very ill, and they tend to be people with weakened immune systems or the elderly or something like that. So keeping yourself healthy is another important strategy in addition to the hand washing and those kinds of things, taking care of your health so your body is at peak performance to fight this disease.
Where should people go to find out what's going on, like right now?
Well, in Douglas County, for local information, we're trying to get people in the habit of looking at the Douglas County website. Regardless of what sort of disaster we might have, we want people to know, rather than just going onto social media or going, you know, asking their friends. Everybody is in the habit of knowing if there's some big event happening in Douglas County that's a concern, it's the information's going to be on our local website. And we have alerts on there, and it would be updated regularly. And we put as much information as we can on there so people know, regardless of what happens, that's where information's going to be found.
Mm-hmm. And your website is douglascountywi.org. So once again, Douglas with one S, county, W-I, all one word, .org, correct?
Yes, make sure you're looking at the Wisconsin one. There's apparently a Douglas County, Nebraska, and a Douglas County, Minnesota.
Ellen, where can people find out more on the Minnesota side of the Bay?
So on the Minnesota side of the Bay, you know, like Kathy said, you know, we really also recommend looking at the CDC website, but then also at the Minnesota Department of Health website. And then additionally, you know, of course, the various counties that people are coming from in northeastern Minnesota, you know, along the shore, it's mainly Carlton, St. Louis, Lake, and if you go inland a little ways, you might be also coming into Itasca County.
Okay. Is there anything else indigenous to our area? One thing is, again, we don't have any cases yet, but that's one shouldn't get too comfortable in that, correct?
I think so, yeah. I think it's just a matter of time. You know, when we have had individuals who have returned to our area after traveling to different places, and they were not necessarily having a known exposure, but because they had come from an area that was a level 3 alert or something like that, they have been on the home monitoring, the self-quarantine, the voluntary thing that they do to just monitor themselves for symptoms. They're not being tested or anything at this time. They're not symptomatic, but they came from a place that was of concern. We have had issues like that in our county, and I think that with how mobile people are, especially with spring break coming up, people need to be thoughtful about the traveling that they're going to do and where they're going to go and what they're going to bring back. So I'm a little concerned about what spring break's going to bring us.
Right, which is why UWS, or actually University of Wisconsin, is extending its spring break.
Exactly.
Right. We've had similar types of travel situations to what Kathy's describing as well. Some that we hear officially from CDC and some that we don't.
We've been talking to Ellen Hill, who is the Northeastern District Epidemiologist at the Minnesota Department of Health. And Kathy Ronke is the health officer at Douglas County Department of Health and Human Services. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And an update. Because of the pandemic, Kathy Ronke's in-studio guest appearance may be the last for a while on our show and other programs from Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll still bring you our statewide and local programming and news, of course, but with the added precaution of at least some interviews happening over the phone. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Stay tuned, stay healthy, and stay positive with this inspirational note from the Duke Robillard Band.
Mighty, yes we can, I know we can.